go to the scriptures and we think, well, God rescued the faithful from suffering. And we have example after example where a bad situation occurs and God seems to work it all out. I mean, isn't that what we have in the example of Daniel? You go over to Daniel chapter 6 and he's thrown into that lion's den and the angel of the Lord comes and rescues him. Why can't God come and rescue me? And we look at the scriptures in such a skewed fashion, we miss what is conveyed. God didn't rescue Daniel from suffering. Far from it. When Daniel was a teenager, the Babylonian army came into Judah and decimated the place, took him into a foreign land. You and I can only begin to imagine the brutality and horror that young man witnessed in his formative years. How come you read about Daniel, but you don't read about his parents? How come you read about Daniel, but you don't read about any of his siblings? Could it be they were killed in that invasion? He was taken and had a whole number of testings and trials immediately as he got to Babylon with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Yes, God's protecting him and preserving him along the way, but yet he had to suffer all of his life. Have you ever thought that when Daniel was thrown into that lion's den, maybe he didn't want to come out of it? We don't think like that. We just see a happy ending. God didn't make Daniel immune from suffering. What about Paul and Silas? You know, when they were in this prison, God came along. There's this earthquake that happened and the prison gates are opened and good things happened. Totally oblivious to what got them in that prison in the first place. I don't think there's any one of us here this morning who would have liked to have traded places with those two men. And this surely was not the first time Paul or Silas had been so mistreated. They were singing. Why were they singing? Now, a number of years ago, I read some of Frederick Douglass's autobiography. Frederick Douglass was born into slavery. There's a great connection to Frederick Douglass and Akron, by the way. But in his autobiography, he wrote that he never understood why white people thought that slaves sang because they were happy. He says they didn't sing because they were happy. They sang because they were suffering. And the singing of spiritual songs brought them hope. I don't think Paul and Silas were having a party. They were singing, trying to strengthen their faith, trying to focus their minds not on what was going on in their lives at that moment, but rather on the hope that they had of eternal life if they would persevere and endure what they were facing. Oh, what about the nameless ones of Hebrews chapter 11? The ones whom the world was not worthy of. What about the brutality they faced and encountered? What about them? I mean, the people you read about in the New Testament, this first generation of Christians, as quickly as they took on this new life, they began a life of suffering. We talk about, well, you need to prepare and get ready in the event something occurs and unexpected things happen, and that's true. It doesn't seem to be that Christians in the first century had the time to get ready for it. It just started happening almost immediately. When did God come down and rescue them and take them out of what it was they were dealing with? Well, then there's Jesus, of course. And our view of Jesus sometimes is we just glaze over his life. We glaze over his suffering. Suffering that began long before Calvary, by the way. His suffering began before creation, ladies and gentlemen, when it was revealed that through His blood, redemption and the forgiveness of sins would be offered. And it just continued as He came into this world. Read Isaiah chapter 53 sometime. Very little of what Isaiah describes in terms of the suffering of our Savior has to do with the cross. Most of it has to do with the mental and the emotional suffering that He would experience by people who wanted absolutely nothing to do with Him. We come down to Him in the Garden of Gethsemane, where He is so intense that blood is coming out of His eyelids as He fervently prays to His Father to let this cup pass from me. Jesus didn't want to go to the cross. He didn't want to suffer the experience of that. He wanted God to change that, if at all possible, if there is any way possible. Well, there wasn't any way possible. I think, why did God let Him do that? Well, again, if you go to Isaiah 53 at the end of the chapter, it seems to indicate that the knowledge of a suffering Savior would not soon be forgotten in the world. That story would powerfully resonate with people down through time, and it has continued to do just that. He goes to the cross. He's taken to the cross. After having been scourged, beaten within inches of His life, He's battered and bloody to the point he can't even carry His cross.